Thank the Lord. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. Amen. Now, I want all my young preachers and ministers, listen up. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it'll be your time one day. Amen. But you listen to me now. Praise God. There's just a lot of things I'll let ride. But it's one thing I won't let ride. If a man's called to preach and he won't worship God, I won't let that ride. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, I just won't let that ride. To me, that's the epitome of hypocrisy. Praise God. I'm telling you, if you're called to preach, you don't ever come in this. Everybody look. Yeah, you look up here. You don't ever come through these doors with a mood and an attitude. What you need to do is get yourself right back out of this auditorium and you go get in the prayer room and you pray through. Then you come right back on in here and you lift up your hands and you worship the Lord. Every one of you called to preach, open your mouth, say amen. I'm watching you. But there's somebody bigger than me watching you. You don't play games with God. Praise God. Brother Clark, you got visitors here tonight. Yes, sir, you're right. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't play church around here. We get down to business. Can you say amen? I said we get down to business around here. Can you say amen? Come on, I'm telling you, there's some people in here, I'll tell you folks, and you're dragging this thing out. They said, oh, I ain't nobody. Well, you must be, because God's a watching you. And he told me, he said, don't make one step more until they worship me. Just don't take one more step till they worship me. He said, I don't like the mood they came in here with. And he said, they're not going to leave with that mood. He said, because I'm going to shake them one way or the other. And they're going to worship me. Hold your Bible in one hand, lift up your other, and say, God, I love you. Oh, God, I love you. Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to praise the King of Glory. Oh, we're going to praise the King of Glory. Woo! Glory. I feel the Holy Ghost victory here tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You have your Bible? So I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, the 16th chapter. Leviticus, the 16th chapter and the 3rd verse. Leviticus 16 and 3. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Leviticus, this is Bible study night. And so we're going to attempt to bring the word of the Lord. Leviticus 16 and 3. Thus shall Aaron come unto the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat. He shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girdled with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, or this could say, because of that, shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. 20th verse. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man. Everybody say, fit man. And shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. And he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. 26th verse. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterward come into the camp. I'd like to speak and teach tonight upon this thought of led by a fit man. Led by a fit man. Now, I know there are people here tonight that are visiting. We're so glad to have you here. And we welcome you on Bible study night. There are people that need miracles and touches from God. And I want you to know that as I finish teaching, the Spirit of the Lord will move in here. I want to see people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Said, I want to see people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad you're born again of the water and the Spirit tonight? Amen. Let's lift our hands together again. Let's pray as Brother Kraft comes to pray. Hallelujah.
Dear God, we come before you this night, God. You see the needs of this service, Lord. Those that have come hungry, God. Those that have come to be filled. Lord, I pray that you administer the word of the Lord to their heart tonight. God, you see all things and you know all things. God, we may have a good outside shell that would hide how we are on the inside. But God, you see and you know all things. For your word says that we are naked, that all men are naked before you, God. We are naked before you this night, God. Minister in the Holy Ghost, we pray. And everyone said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Can you say hallelujah? You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. There are some Christian denominations, quote-unquote Christian denominations, who do not use the Old Testament. My son attends a private school there that is sponsored and run by a quote-unquote Christian denomination. They don't refer to the Old Testament. They just go to the New Testament. But they are making a very bad mistake. The Bible lets us know that the Old Testament is types and shadows. That the law of the Old Testament is a schoolmaster pointing us unto Christ. The New Testament in its understanding, in its fullness, is complete when you put it together with the Old Testament. That's why we encourage you to read the whole Bible. You can understand the types and the shadows, see them fulfilled in the New Testament, and have a more complete comprehension of what God is doing when you put them together. Now, the word type comes from the word T-U-P-O-S. And that word means seal. Everybody say seal. That word means seal. Now, if you have ever seen a seal before, they use it for corporations, and it has upon it writing. You take a piece of paper and put in there. You have the seal, and then, please turn back up my monitor just a little bit, if you will. You have the seal, and then you have the imprint. Now, if you listen to me closely, I'm going to bring some things out in the Holy Ghost here tonight, talk to you out of the Word of God. The Old Testament is the type, and the New Testament is the imprint from the Word of God in the Old Testament. Now, stay with me tonight, or you're going to lose me, because my opening, prefacing remarks are very important. The Old Testament is that type, or that seal. And whatever the seal says, it are to read out in the imprint. Is that not true? Or there's something false with the seal? If the Old Testament is the Word of God, then it's going to be fulfilled correctly in the New Testament. In other words, they will coincide one another and support one another. Whatever the seal says, if it's correct and not faulty, when it is imprinted upon whatever it is placed, it will come forth with whatever the seal says. Hallelujah. Now, I read to you in the type here out of Leviticus, the 16th chapter. I read to you about that was called the Day of Atonement. Everybody say atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement was the one-ment, if you please. It was bringing God, man in reconciliation with God. It was a time of having all of their sins rolled ahead. Hallelujah. It was a beautiful time. It was a wonderful time. And I see in here, in the type of the high priest, the Bible said he had on his holy coat. And then he put upon him the breeches. And then he had upon him a girdle in which he tied himself and served. And then he had upon him a mitre, a holy mitre. Now, when we see that seal in the Old Testament or type, when we look in the New Testament, we see our high priest of salvation is who? Is who? Jesus is our high priest. Everybody say hallelujah. Amen. And that coat is his purity and his righteousness. He was a holy God. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. That coat is the representative of life. Amen. He came without guile. No sin was found in him. Visitor, you might want to know, why do I live for God? Because my Jesus was a holy Savior. I said he was a holy Savior. He was righteous and pure. Amen. Hallelujah. The coat represents a holy life. The breeches represents a holy walk. Amen. Hallelujah. He walked a holy walk. The reason why the church ought to be like Jesus, we ought to have a holy life and we ought to have a holy walk. Paul said, the profane sin that is found in the world should not be found in the church. Hallelujah. We should not be a bunch of people that gathered around here that are adulterers and fornicators and homosexuals and liars and drunkards. We are to be holy unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. But not only that, but he wore that golden girdle. Or he wore that girdle which was a place of holy servitude. Amen. You know why some people don't want to be a Christian? Because it costs them too much. If I become a Christian, then I'm going to have to start living for others. You got it right. Amen. You're to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't want that anymore. That's why it's hard to find a real Christian anymore. Because we live in such a self-centered world. But the high priest, the seal of the Old Testament, he was a holy man. Hallelujah. And my high priest of the New Testament was a holy man in servitude and in walk and in life. But not only that, but he wore a mitre upon his head. That meant he was in servitude to the Spirit of the Most High God. When that high priest wore that golden mitre upon his head, he told all of the world, I am a servant to the Most High God. Hallelujah. That was the covering of the power of the Holy Ghost. That mitre that he wore represented fire from in the heavens above. And when the church was born again on the day of Pentecost, there come upon them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Visitors that are here tonight, you're among a bunch of tongue talkers. The Holy Ghost has set upon us and has filled us. And that means we're in subjection to the power of God of heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire around here tonight. Amen.
was a holy man.
The seal of the Old Testament is going to be complete. And it's going to read exactly like it did in the Old Testament. You're going to find them saying the same thing. What they did in types and shadows in the Old Testament, we do in our life in this New Testament. This new dispensation, if you please. Now, what I read to you was what we call the scapegoat. Now, there were two goats that were brought out on the Day of Atonement. And one of them died and shed his blood. And the blood of that goat was put upon that scapegoat. There was a reason for that. It was because there was sin in the world. Now, where did this sin come from? You could go back to the beginning in the book of Genesis. And you find where Adam and Eve failed God Almighty. And was put out of the Garden of Eden. Placed on the outside. But there begins the great promise of God, church. The Lord makes this promise as He turns to the serpent. And says, you've begun something here that I am going to finish. And before He ever put a curse on man or the earth, He told the devil, I want you to know, you started this with woman, but I'm going to finish it up just between you and I. We're going to settle this. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What you need to do and what I need to do and what this church needs to do is get out of the way and let God do what He wants to do. Hallelujah! The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah! I feel some people here tonight that are struggling with some things in your life. Not the will of God. The will of God is to give you joy and to give you peace and to give you happiness. Amen. But I'm going to tell you where the struggle is. Is before people ever come to God, they fight with their life and with their sins. And when they finally come to God and give that to Him, then they tell Him after that, this is how you ought to do it. Hallelujah. But oh, my God stepped on the scene and said, serpent, you began something that you're not going to be able to finish. You started something that you're not going to be able to take care of. This is out of your hands, boy. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to take the fallen race. And I'm going to touch her seed. And out of her is going to come a deliverer. That's the seal. That's the type of the Old Testament. Now, folks, is that true or not? Let's find what the imprint says. In the New Testament, 4,000 years later, that angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, Mary, if you'll cooperate with the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, He that is going to come out of you is going to be called Jesus. For He's going to save His people from their sins. Now, I see the seal of the promise of God that He's going to crush the head of the serpent. And I find in the New Testament that Jesus Christ was that power that delivered mankind out of the power of the hands of Satan. Come on. The seal is going to read the same as the imprint. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. They're one and the same. You read on through the Old Testament, and you'll find those types and shadows, time after time, being completed in the Word of the living God. That whatever God said in the Old Testament, He was able to do it and bring it to pass in the New Testament. There are some people that are here tonight that have never committed your life to God. You know why? Because you don't understand when you commit to God that you are putting your life in the hands of the most trustworthy power that has ever been known in the history of all the eternities. That when you make a commitment to that God, that He can put it in the Word, and He can leave it there for thousands of years, and at the right time and at the right moment, tell the devil, try to stop it, you can't do it. I got the seal, and I have the power to make the imprint, just like what I wrote in Genesis 3:15. You can't stop it. He's going to come forth. He shall deliver His people, and there will be victory. Folks, that kind of a God is the kind of God I want to serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I said. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. That devil knew what the seal said. He knew there was going to be a promised Messiah. So he tried to kill it. He tried to kill it when he brought Mary there with that child before it was born and about to be born. Brought her on that long journey, Brother Lofton, of almost 2 days. And if a woman's going to lose a child, she'd lose it riding on the back of a donkey. Brought it down to Bethlehem. Oh, he was in the seal already. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Devil, don't you know everything you try is just fitting right in with what God's got in mind? He tried to kill him 2 years later when Herod sent out the decree, but the Word of God said he's going to come up out of Egypt. So he had to go down in Egypt first. That's in the seal. And Jesus was taken by Joseph and by Mary, fleeing from the decree of Herod, and taken down in Egypt. But he came up, hallelujah, and dwelled in the land of Galilee. The devil tried everything he could do to kill him, but he couldn't lay a hand on him because the seal was sure. Hallelujah. And it was going to stand. Let me tell you, church, I'm going to lay a foundation here tonight for every one of you that are here. I'm going to give you every reason to live for God and no reason to backslide. After I'm through here tonight, you'll never be able to look in the mirror again and say, it's not worth it. I'm telling you, you have to lie to your own self, because I want you to know my God is able to finish that good work that He has begun in you. Woo. Glory to God. If He can make a seal like this and bring it to pass exactly as He said it, that kind of God is worthy of all praise. That kind of God is worthy of all worship. I said that kind of God is worthy of the best that you've got. Praise God. You may be seated. You know what, though? There's some people in here who call me pastor. And I call you one of our saints. That you really, really don't believe it like you are to. Because if you really believed it like you ought to, you wouldn't let any reservation reside in your life. You wouldn't let one little spot of blemish be on your holy garment. You wouldn't let one little wrinkle in your character remain. You would say, oh God, if you can do it like that, count me in. What shall I put you down for? 50%? Mm-mm. Shall I put you down for 75%? Mm-mm. Shall I put you down for 99%? Mm-mm. I believe that a 100% God deserves 100%. I believe He really does. Hallelujah. I told my wife this afternoon, I said, I don't know how anybody can ever backslide. I don't know how anybody can be lukewarm. I don't know how anybody can keep sin in their life. I don't know how anybody can come to the house of God and not worship the Lord with everything that's in them. I don't understand that. Hallelujah. Because when I look at the Word of God, it gives me such an appreciation that the seal and the imprint say the one and the same. It don't matter if it's 1,000 years, if it's 4,000 years later,
He is able to do what he said. Hallelujah. And he made a promise. I'm going away, but I will come back again. I'm leaving you with this promise, and understand that I'm coming back for you. I will do it. And the writer said, we are sealed with the promise of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. My God. Oh, I know that has one meaning. But I'm putting it right in the middle of this. Because one day that word of God is going to come to pass in my life with the trumpet sound. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You know, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about having appreciation for God and His divine plan and His types and shadows and His Word. It's kind of like a child growing up in a home where there's no books and ain't nothing but a television to watch. That's all they know is shadow. Mediocrity of the world. But you take that thing out of the house and you line those shelves with good literature, with wholesome reading, with the good word of God. And you'll have a child that'll grow up appreciating what's really valuable in life. Folks, life doesn't consist of a 30-minute plot with 3 1-minute commercials sandwiched in between. That ain't life. I said that ain't reality. Life is what you read in the Word of God. Of men and women who hung on to types and shadows. And to men and women who hung on until it was fulfilled in their day. And men and women who can lock hands from the Old Testament to the New Testament and will stand side by side. Abraham, Isaac's and Jacob's and Paul's and Simon Peter's and Matthew's and Luke's. Hallelujah. And you and I who can say, I know what is really valuable in life. Praise God. You know, we need a new appreciation for what God has really done for us. It's mysteries, but it's easily to be understood. But the whole matter of the whole crux of the matter is really wanting to understand. Desiring to know what God has done. But I'm going to tell you, the carnal flesh don't want to know. Because when you see how God, through types and shadows, how God has done exactly what He would say He would do over the millennial, you got to stand back in awe and say, my God, my Lord and my God. And when you start saying that, you don't want to break the rules of God. You don't want to sin. You want to live holy. You want to live righteously. You want to treat your brother as you'd want to be treated. You want to treat your sister as you'd want to be treated. You'd want to love a lost and a dying world like He loved a lost and a dying world. You want to love the things that He loved. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with God's people. Is God's people don't understand what God has done for His people. Praise God. And the whole plan is that man fell, but God has made a way of escape. And when I see that day of atonement, Please, if you will, for a moment, stay with me. Because some of these things is boring to some of you, but it's not to others. Hallelujah. And believe me, it ain't to the devil, because it's whipped him day in and day out. But on the Day of Atonement, from the blood of a bullock and a ram, that priest would go into that place sprinkling blood all the way. From the altar to the water, and on through the holy place to the holiest of holies, it was blood all the way. And then we would come out of there, he'd come out of there sprinkling blood all the way. Every step that he made, there was blood, 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 blood. Sacrifice that was paid. Blood all the way. Hallelujah. When he went taking the blood in, he came taking man to God through the blood. But when he came out from that ark and mercy seat, he came bringing God to man through the blood. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For you're not bought with corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. My God! Hallelujah! If you want to get to the Lord tonight, you're going to get there by the blood. Give me the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, beautiful prayers doesn't impress the Lord. Your charisma doesn't impress the Lord. The only thing that's going to get you to God and God to you is the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood. Over and through the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. There is something that has been lost among the modern church, and we're going to regain it. I don't find many young people anymore praying under the power of the blood. Matter of fact, I don't find many middle-aged saints anymore praying under the power of the blood. But you find you an old gray-haired mother in Zion. You find you an old gray-haired dad in Zion, and you're going to find somebody knows how to pull down the power of the blood of Jesus to glory. You just don't understand. When you're facing a devil bigger than you are, and the hair standing on the back of your head, and you're looking at a wall-eyed devil, looks like he's from Mars, and he walks into your house, and he says, I'm here to take you and your family. And all you got to say is, demon, by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. Whew. Hallelujah. I want the devil to know in the Old Testament they only had one day. But all the fulfillment of that seal is every day. Morning, noon, and night. When I'm awake and when I'm asleep. Hallelujah. Whether I'm up or whether I'm down. Whether I'm feeling good or whether I'm feeling bad. I've got the blood. I said, I got the blood of Jesus. Woo. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You love a hush, Tatala. You may be seated. You know what? I watch while I teach. It's a good thing to do that. Because you can find out where people are. You know what some of your problems are? You living out from under the blood. You can't use the blood. I'm going to tell you something, folks, about a seal. It's a sign of authority. Whatever it says doesn't mean anything when it's held by anybody. But when the law declares this man has authority to use that seal, friend, when it's imprinted, something's going to happen. You know what your problem is? You ain't got no authority. Because ain't nobody but holy people have a right to this. Whew. Man. When Jesus was led up into the place of temptation, and the devil came to him trying to use the word, Jesus looked at him and said, "Devil, listen to me. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Get thee behind me, Satan. For you're going to worship God and serve Him only." He reached over and said, "What are you trying to do to use the seal? You ain't got no power. Give that to me." Amen. And he used the word on the devil. And the Bible said the devil had to go. I'm telling you, he had to leave. Because he met somebody who had the right to use the power of the seal. When Jesus went into the heavens, he left to this church the power of the gifts and the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of His name. And I'm telling you, church, if we'll use it. I said, if we'll use it. God, I'm having some situations here tonight. I'm having a little trouble trying to get over some sin. I hope you ain't back here Sunday. Amen. I hope you go find you another place to go and call another man your pastor, because I'm feeling sin in here and it's bothering me. It's bothering me. Hallelujah. And if it's bothering me and the word, then it's bothering God. So take your sin and go somewhere else and let that man have to answer for your sin. Because if I answer, I'm going to tell the truth. Praise God. But when you are washed in the blood, sanctified, justified by God's Spirit and through His name, you can lift up the seal and the imprint and say, "Devil, I got you coming and going." Whew. Hallelujah. Stick your head in the middle of this, boy. Because when it comes down, it's going to crush your skull. It defeated you in the old. It's defeated you in the new. It whips you then. It whips you now. Hallelujah. Oh my God, come on somebody. You need to pick up that power and that authority and put the devil's head in the middle of it. Squeeze it. Woo! Shatayamo shatalabahasataba. I said squeeze. Praise God, you may be seated. Has anybody ever used a seal before? Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many knows what I'm talking about though? Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. A seal has a handle, and on it, the seal, and then has another place under where you can apply pressure. And whatever you want marked, you just take that piece of paper and you stick it in between that seal and that pressure point, and you put it to it. Whoa. Buddy, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to say on the imprint if the seal is right. It's going to say the same thing. I kind of got the feeling the devil is a little nervous around here. He said, "Now, I've pushed every other church around. Now, why don't you let me push you around a little bit? Now, I've intimidated everybody else. Now, why can't I intimidate you? Now, I've got everybody else back in the corner. Why can't back you in the corner? I'll tell you why, devil. Because I'm going to put your head between a pressure point and that seal. And I'm going to take the word of the living God." Genesis 3:15 said, "You are going to bruise his heel. But now, when I'm through with you, I'm going to crush your skull." My, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, church. I want the word of God in your soul. Don't you back up. Don't you quit. You come out of your corner in the name of Jesus and you tell the devil you're whipped. You're whipped. You're whipped. You're defeated. You are defeated in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. I tell you, I got the devil's number in this city. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I'm going to tell you what the devil's been doing to a lot of us. You've been sitting around home, spirit of fear. Now I'm talking. Now you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spirit world. And the phone ring, not the literal phone. Phone ring, and you pick it up and say, hello. Oh, devil, is that you again? It is. Oh, I thought my number was unlisted. He said, I got your number. But, oh, I feel something changing. And the devil's sitting somewhere back in his little nice leather recliner. And he's watching over his domain. And the phone rings. He says, hello. I said, hello, Mr. Devil. This is Keith Clark. Oh! Oh, you calling? Yes, sir. Got your number. It's time for the church of the living God to rise up in the power, woo, of the Holy Ghost and tell the devil, my God, my God, woo, somebody ought to shout, somebody ought to praise God, somebody ought to let him know, hallelujah, 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 come on church, amen. Every time the phone rings, some of your nerves just goes a dangling right along with the phone. Ring, 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 ring. Ring, 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 ring. My Lord, why don't you get down some Holy Ghost power and use this seal and let the devil start trembling. It's time for my men to be men of God and start rebuking the devil. It's time for my women to be women of God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what your problem is. You want the world too much. I'm telling you, you're in the wrong church. Come get your letter right after service tonight, because some of you, I've already got it printed up. I'm ready to let you go. Just go ahead and go. Don't bring your serpent back in here anymore. He ain't wanted. You believe I started off being humorous? I really meant that humorous. I really ain't got your letter written up, but my God, the more I said it, the more serious it really got. And I feel the Holy Ghost tell me, you better go home and print one up for her. Because I'm fixing to move her on out if she don't get right. And you better go home and print one up for him, because I'm fixing to move him on out. So there's a place, he'll feel comfortable, she'll feel comfortable. But I'd rather have God stir me up. I'd rather have God get me in that place where I can whip the devil than the devil whip me. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord. Praise God. Come on, it's through the blood. How many are glad for the precious blood of Jesus? Woo. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. So, if we're going to find out if it's right, we've got to take what happened in the Old Testament, we've got to take the type, and we've got to match it up with the imprint in the New Testament. Now, did it happen or did it not happen? And they would take those two goats, innocent, and pull those two kid goats out of the group and bring them up to the house of the Lord. And one would die and shed the blood. And they'd take that blood, put it in a censer, go and take it and let the smoke of that innocent blood fill the holiest of holies. The censer that the blood of the goat was on was stuck inside of that curtain by that high priest until it filled the holiest of holies. Then he'd come out with that blood. And he'd put that blood upon that scapegoat. And he'd pray all the sins of Israel that has been committed for 1 year, whether they did it on purpose or whether they did it by omission, whether they did it because they wanted to or they made a mistake, I put it upon this scapegoat, and that blood was put upon him. My God, church, Jesus drank of that cup. He wasn't made sin. He took on sin. Because if he had took sin in, he would not have been that perfect sacrifice. But it was put on him. Your sins, my sins, the sin of the whole world. Hallelujah. It was all put upon him. My God, I'm glad it wasn't on you, and I'm glad it wasn't on me. The sins of one life is enough to drive some people insane. Some people lose their lives. Some people commit suicide because of their own sin. What would man do with the sins of the whole world? Billions and billions and billions and billions. My God, some of us can't even take our own failures. But upon Jesus was placed the sins of all humanity, from the past that there would ever be a man living that would ever die. It was upon the head of Jesus. No, you're not listening to me. No, you're really not. I don't think you appreciate what God's really done for you. No, I really don't. We're a spoiled, pampered generation. Americans are rotten to the core because we're so used to a world serving us. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. And we walk around like kings and queens. And when we come to God, we come with that same attitude. Ain't you glad I'm here, God? Isn't it a good thing I made it? Everything was put on him. And the Bible said that goat was led by a fit man. By a fit man. Because this journey wasn't going to end till it was taken to no man's land. You had to have a fit man. He wasn't going to be a weakling, because the fit man was going to take the goat to the place where he would die. Beyond the green meadows, beyond the sparkling pools, and beyond the rippling creeks, beyond water, beyond substance, beyond provision, to the no man's land. You have to have a fit man to go that far, to bring the scapegoat to die. At 30 years old, Jesus walked into his mother, Mary, and said, Mama, here's my tools. Here's the hammer. Here's the saw. I'm not going to be a carpenter anymore. What you going to do, son? I'm going into the ministry. I'm going down to the river where John the Baptist is. I'm going to get baptized. Goodbye, Mama. And the fit man, the spirit of the living God, led him out of a carpenter's house and took him down to the River Jordan. And he was back.